So last week, I told you about my recent experience that kind of put a whole bunch of a series of unfortunate events in my path, and it slowed me down to a crawl, quite literally. I had just bought a house near the school so that my daughter could walk and be very close to school, and I had a terrible move, and I had a terrible experience getting into the house. I had a neighbor that scammed me. At the same time, I made a mess of my knee, removing both the ACL, the MCL, the meniscus, and doing a pretty nice fracture on the tibia. I also was caring for my dad, who slipped very, very quickly into a terrible situation, and then finally succumbed to death a month ago today. With all of that, there's a lot of head noise, as you can imagine. And I know, you know, I don't tell you this to feel sorry for me, but to acknowledge that because we're Christian doesn't mean that we're going to have this easy, wonderful, flower-filled path. It means that we all walk this walk together. And we lean on each other as a family of faith. And we especially need to focus ourselves on God. Because when we fill ourselves with God, the head noise of Satan somewhat dissipates. So last week I told you that this was happening, and I said, yeah, there was an honest conversation with Satan, which I would get into the following week. So this is the week. This is the week. And what I want to tell you this week is that the honest conversations with Satan weren't as clear as the devil saying, I'm gonna get you, and God saying, oh, you're lovely. They blurred together. And the voices said things to me like, you could have been a better daughter, mother, friend, pastor. Your anointing for pastoral ministry has been lifted. Go do something else now. Take time for healing so that you can regain the strength to minister to others. When you thought you were exhausted, you were really just selfish. You didn't do all you could for your parents. You let them down. You didn't do all you could for your friends, your congregation, yourself. You have sacred worth, and you are never alone. You know how eating makes you feel better? Don't worry about the portions or if it's healthy. You deserve to just take a break and just fill up on junk food. You deserve to feel good. Shut off the TV. Minimize the distractions. Focus on God to lift your burden and your pain. In all our weakness, He becomes strong. If you want to feel better, there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking the time to binge watch Netflix and stuffing yourself with Cheetos. Praying and working through this stuff is boring and probably overrated. And God knows where your heart is. Plus, if you put your heart into it, you really are going to hurt again. And no one wants that. You're just starting to get over everything. Don't stir it all up again. Yeah, people around you have pain too, but they can take care of themselves for right now. Your problems are more important. There's nothing wrong with just going through the motions, if that's all you can do. You don't have the energy to work through this. You don't have the energy to pray and meditate. Just shut it off. Take the easy way. Just let time sweep it away and keep busy with projects. That makes you happy. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? My problem is that at times it's very hard to distinguish the voices, where they're coming from. What do you want me to do for you? Who's saying that? What does that mean? Do you find that too? Sometimes the voices kind of blur together a little bit. They're not so crystal clear. And I think sometimes Satan takes the name justification or entitlement. My sermon is called An Honest Conversation with Satan. But what is honest about this conversation? What is honest about the conversation I just brought up before you? What is honest about tricky language? So I looked up honest, and it means free of deceit or sincere. Sincere. So I could have a conversation with Satan that was free of deceit, or a conversation with Satan that was sincere. 1 John 4, 1 through 3 tells us to test the spirits. It says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is Christ is not from God. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. You have overcome the deceivers. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What effect does what you're hearing have on your soul and your spirit? Words from the Lord will quicken your faith, increase your love, it will increase your peace and your joy, and will stimulate a sense of humility within you as you become more and more aware of who God is and who you are. On the other hand, any words that you receive that elicit fear or doubt, that bring you into confusion or anxiety, must immediately be rebuked and rejected as lies of the enemy. Now, let me put a caveat on that. And I know that there are others like me that have had a calling, an anointing, to something, to some ministry. And it is with trembling and fear that we approach that. What is God going to ask me to do? That's scary. But that's a different kind of fear and trembling. It also comes with this sense of need and urgency that comes from a well within us. The most difficult part of hearing God is the fact that it takes time to learn to discern God's voice, and it takes a humble heart. So we have to continually humble ourselves before God. So what does this mean? It means that daily, even moment by moment, we have to keep filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. If we continually seek God, Satan's voice will fade. And I was, where did I put it now? As we were singing, I thought, oh my gosh, that is exactly what this is about. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to the rock I'm clinging. So when I'm clinging to the rock, storm can't shake me. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? So when we're clinging to the rock, we are clinging to something solid. And the storms can't shake us. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, and you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." So this means we need to take action. Okay, yes, God loves us and desires to comfort us, but the free will that we were given, that we were created with, means that God doesn't force himself on us. I want to tell you about the story of blind Bartimaeus, a story in the Bible. So Jesus and his disciples are coming to Jericho. And as they're coming into town, there's a large crowd, and a man walks up to them. I tend to think this is a young man, youngish, Bartimaeus, who's the son of Timaeus. He's a blind beggar. The scripture tells us that he is a blind beggar. And he's sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he shouts out and he says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And a lot of people said, "Bartimaeus, shh, be quiet. Be quiet. Jesus is in town. Don't stir things up. Be quiet. Behave yourself." But he cried out even louder. He said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. And he said, "Come over here." And they called Bartimaeus, and they brought him to Jesus. And they said, "It's okay. He's calling to you. Come." So Bartimaeus throws off his cloak, and he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And then, you know what Jesus said to him? He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, isn't it obvious? He asked because he knew that healing Bartimaeus, giving him his eyesight back, meant that Bartimaeus was going to have to live life differently. So probably all of his life, he had gotten by from the kindness of others. The scripture tells us he was a beggar, so that's what he knew how to do. He knew how to sit beside the road and ask for money, and people would give him money and probably give him other kindnesses. This is what he knew how to do. If Jesus healed him and gave him his eyesight back, that would mean that Bartimaeus couldn't do that anymore. He'd have to learn how to do something else. He'd have to probably now learn a trade. And that would take time and effort. He'd have to learn how to fit into society differently. He'd have to change everything. Jesus wanted to know what Bartimaeus wanted from him. Did Bartimaeus want some help that he got from other people? Did Bartimaeus want his eyesight back? Did Bartimaeus want a change of heart? Was something weighing on him? What did he want? Jesus probably knew, but he needed for Bartimaeus to say it. Was he ready? Was Bartimaeus really ready to change everything in his life? During my time apart from you, because of all the setbacks that I encountered, I had to make a decision. When Jesus asked me, "What do you want me to do for you?" I needed to figure out what that was. And don't get me wrong, he wasn't the only one that asked, "What can I do for you?" Because Satan was equally willing to comfort me. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now that meant listening to all the voices, all of them, and measuring them up to Scripture. And I have to admit that for some of this time, I was in grief, which was appropriate, but it had somewhat swelled into pity. It was kind of hard to tell a little bit between the grief and the pity. I was pretty numb. And I'm sharing this because I know that you've been there. And it's not an easy place to be. I didn't seek God as earnestly as I needed to, which left room. It left room for the other voices to creep in. Kind of like Eve, kind of meandering around the tree that God told her not to eat from. But she meandered and she admired the fruit and she kind of thought, "Wonder what it tastes like." My mind began to believe some of what the deceiver was saying. Head noise. It's like quicksand. You know how that kind of spirals? You have that negative voice that tells you things that make you feel like not right, not beloved, not sacred. And it just spirals. Once you start believing that, it just spirals. But thankfully, Jesus is patient, right? Jesus is patient and is ever willing to reach out to us. Now, the rest of Bartimaeus' story is that he did say, "I want you to give me my eyesight. I want you to heal me." He made a decision that day. He made a tough decision, really. He was tired of living the way he was. And he was ready. He wanted things to be different. He was ready to take a step out from where he was. And Jesus met him there. Sometimes we have to have an honest conversation with Satan. We have to acknowledge that voice and then fill ourselves with God, so that we can be very honest about the voices and say, this is not of Scripture, and this is. We have to test the spirits, right? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit on our side. No storm can shake my inmost calm when to that rock I am clinging. Children of God, cling to that rock with sincerity today. Amen.